Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Lydia here. You may know me as Melanie in Magnus Archives or from Rusty Quill Gaming. I'm here to tell you about this episode's sponsor, The Stormlight Archive, Volume 4, Rhythm of War, by internationally best-selling author, detailed worldbuilder, and writer of some of the most fine-tuned systems of magic you will ever read, Brandon Sanderson. This series is perfect for fans of tabletop RPGs. You'll love the aforementioned magic system and encounter some of the coolest places you'll ever read about. Ratcheting up the tensions, big and small, that Sanderson began in the Stormlight Archives Book 1, The Way of Kings, now is the perfect time to pick a side, join the fight, and dive into this New York Times best-selling series. Buy Brandon Sanderson's Rhythm of War, the latest in the New York Times best-selling Stormlight saga. Just search for Rhythm of War wherever books are sold, or visit the link in this episode's description for more information.
Welcome to episode 178 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell. With me today I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith,
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu.
And I have a confession. I've been doing so much editing recently, like listening in on episodes to try and get ahead and so on, that it now feels actively weird to me because we're speaking and there's no music, like nothing's exploding in the background. It's just odd. It's odd, the real
world.
All
the explosions in my house currently are silent.
I need to hire someone to follow me around with a Foley kit just to feel more at home. It's very odd.
I mean, Alex, you basically live in several rooms which are equipped with a Foley kit. And
yeah, but it's so much effort. You just got to kind of like auto Foley. That's
my
advice, right?
Is just keep them, you know, inside. And then if you ever want to punctuate a point, just fart really loudly.
The Zolf method.
Yeah. Womp.
So, as people can tell from my very sketchy intro, it's been a little while for us, so I apologize. In terms of picking up where we left off, bit of a tonal whiplash here. So I believe that everyone had finished basically reaching out and trying to bring people back from, we don't even have a word for it yet, we haven't been discussing it, limbo and afterlife, I don't know what it is.
Back from the dead is what I was thinking.
Basically, yeah, basically. With that in mind...
I think carefully, we were very much trying not to like try and bring them back, but offer them the option of coming back. That was like, while there may have been an underscoring of wanting our friends around, it was trying very much to be about them, I think.
At no point Did any of you pick someone up and drag them? And goodness knows Azu could have done so with that size difference.
You will come back to life!
I mean, I think I was kneeling reverently with a gradually spreading patch of frost.
You are the person that I would like to start with, Brinicus Maximus, by which I mean Hamid. So yes, I'm going to pick up with you, because obviously Hamid is unaware of any of these events that have been happening in some other plane, some other state of being. You've mostly, again, yes, been kneeling reverently in an ever-expanding patch of frost, surrounded by an increasing crowd of apparently awakened creatures, both plant and animal.
Yeah, so the kobolds and I were relatively knit. So there was a round building, you said, that was reminiscent of the Globe Theatre.
For architectural shape, yes.
Yeah, and we were, and it was in a sort of an empty-ish kind of square, mm-hmm. and we were kneeling outside it, but not like right outside. And the frost patch was spreading out from the building, and at the edge of the square, a pretty big distance away from us, there had been, yeah, these awakened animals and plants gathering, and but sort of mimicking our same attitude of this sort of slightly reverent silence, basically.
Yeah, more or less. What I am going to choose to pick up from then is it is now become apparent to you that you are all going to have to move because the frost is expanding. It's not seemingly like damaging anything or anything like that, but even with the you have currently endure elements, so I believe that technically you could stay where you are, but it is like frost is going to start forming upon your clothes. You're going to start finding it hard to move because your equipment is freezing in place type situation. Again, there's no difficulty in moving currently, but it's just you're approaching the point of if we don't move, we're kind of making a point.
Yeah, I will give a polite little cough and then say, Natan, Tadika, Driak, I think we should just move perhaps another 10, 15 feet towards the edge of the square.
The kobold team appear to have been more or less engrossed and not to have noticed what was going on.
Yeah, I was the only one who opened my eyes in the last bit.
Natan specifically is the first to notice that you've now been seemingly surrounded by a large and elaborate array of creatures. What's going on?
Well, they just seem to have... I've kept an eye on it, and they seem to have come to watch and to bear witness as well. They haven't moved, and they're just standing sort of respectfully at the edge of the square. But I just meant with the frost, it'd be best to move out of the path of the... The frost has been spreading out from the building. Probably a side effect of whatever magic is happening, I would guess.
Everyone stands and starts heading away from the frost. It's clear that the actual building itself must be blisteringly cold. Like, there are minor weather eddies happening around it because the temperature difference... I mean, bear in mind, you're not in a warm part of the world.
Yeah.
You are quite high up in a very cold part of the world. The majority of clothing that you've seen that has not been the sort of smock-based stuff has been, you know, furs, that kind of thing, or at the very least, you know, big, big jackets and things like that. But yeah, it's clear that there is something extreme to do with temperature happening where that building is, because you're seeing flurries of snow appearing at that dividing line between the warmer and colder temperatures and things like that, and there are mists stepping up. The rest of your party, back up a little bit to the surrounding group, because it becomes apparent that you're going to need to. The frost is continuing to expand at a steady rate.
Yeah.
As you all draw near, you do all hear that there is a gentle humming coming from all of the creatures who are surrounding the area. There doesn't appear to be a discernible tune, but it does appear to be harmonised.
I'm taking my lead from the kobolds, basically. I'm assuming we'll all kind of kneel down again, but just at a safer distance from the active frost.
They basically set up shop, right at the edge of the square.
Again, I will probably keep my eyes open, just, you know, because I can help keep an eye on the situation, but other than that, I'll be adopting the same pose they are.
I would say that a couple of party members seem a little bit wary, just because some of the creatures surrounding are, like, you know, full-blown awakened trees that are quite large and things like that. It doesn't appear unsympathetic, but it's still quite intimidating in its both variety and, frankly, scale.
Yeah, I will offer a little reassuring smile and a nod to any of the kobolds and just, you know, try and impart the impression that I got this. and that they are free to do as they need.
Out of everyone, in fact, give me a sense motive.
Oh, but I'm bad at sense motive, Alex.
It's almost like occasionally I make sure you have a role that you're not the best at.
I hate it. Can we abolish that?
Why do you think I keep separating you all? It's so that you can occasionally fail a role.
15.
Yep, that's fine. They're reassured by your presence. And again, maybe you make eye contact with one of the surrounding creatures. They basically give a benevolent smile, but they don't stop their humming or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's really nothing threatening there, which is a very big difference to what's happening now towards the centre of the square. A small vortex of wind seems to be spinning up in the exact centre of the building. And it's almost like, if you've ever seen, and I don't mean in a like cartoony sense, have you ever seen like a real water spout, whether on video or otherwise, that sort of how it initially snakes up and then thickens? It doesn't just go all in one go. That seems to be happening. It's not a full like whirlwind or anything like that, but whatever has been happening seems to be coming to a fairly, you know, elaborate finish. But just as it seems like this, again, I'm going to call it a water spout. It's mostly like, you know, snow and steam and that kind of thing. Just as it starts to thicken to the point it looks like it's reaching the bounds of the building, suddenly diminishes very quickly and settles, and the frost doesn't suddenly disappear, but it ceases to advance, and you start seeing it start to recede as the temperatures start to normalise and so on. The odd thing is there's no actual like atmospheric sounds coming from all of this. It's a silent display where the only noise has been the humming, which then peters to a stop. It doesn't all stop simultaneously or anything like that. It's just various people start to quieten down till eventually everyone has, and without a word, everyone sort of just heads back into the rest of the town and backs away from the square.
Hamid doesn't move, but he's tense. Like, he's tensed up because he feels like whatever magic has been enacted has concluded.
Yeah. At which point, then, I am going to jump to the rest of the party, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All of you simultaneously come to in your respective poses. I know that some of you were sort of sat, some of you were kneeling, things like that. And the first thing that you notice as you sort of recede back into the world, as it were, is that those, you remember that there was those quite pungent smells as you were disappearing off?
Mm-hmm.
Those seem to have entirely dissipated. I believe all of you also under the effect of Endure Elements, correct?
Mm. Yeah.
I cast it on literally everyone.
Literally every single person. You spent the entire spell slots on it. As far as I can tell, I believe that none of you would feel anything other than kind of comfortable, because that's how Endure Elements works. Looking around, if any of you open your eyes, there is a thick layer of frost over everything and everyone in this building. Like, if you move, there will be the crunch of ice as it's moving away, but you're all perfectly comfortable. I'm going to hand over at this point because I realise that you might want to be handling this in different ways, but yeah, you have all come to simultaneously.
I guess one important question is, what about corpses? What are they up to?
And Endure Elements would not have been cast on them, just yeah. In case that's relevant.
I'm going to describe them all at once then in that case, rather than separating it out.
Okay.
Carter is lay still with a shock of pure white hair now. For a moment, it looks like it might have somehow failed in some way, and then a very, very small amount of steam, like breath steam, pops out of the mouth, and the chest is moving. As far as you can tell, Carter just appears to be asleep. His demeanour appears quite sort of washed out, and there is a thick layer of frost upon his body. However, as he breathes, it starts to sort of crack and fall away a little bit. Jumping to Wild, similar situation. A shock of pure white hair now instead of anything else. Same layer of frost. And again, there's a delay and then the breathing again. Sassera's horns specifically appear to have bleached.
Oh.
So they have gone a pure, not even bone white. We're talking like, it's quite striking. It almost looks artificially coloured.
Ooh, funky.
The scales themselves don't appear to have changed colour. However, there is a moment again where it takes a while for like the ice to start to crack and so on.
Hmm. Are the kobolds cold-blooded?
Yes, although these are creatures where some of them have magical potential and things like that, which can mess around with that a little bit.
Mm.
In principle, yes. But again, they're at the larger end of the cold-blooded thing, so basking is not a very large part of their day.
Yeah, yeah. Like for larger cold-blooded animals, it's often actually an issue of overheating. Because, yes. So crocodiles can die if they're out of the water for too long from getting too hot.
They're kind of more the way I was looking at this rather than, like, you know, anything smaller where it's the opposite problem. Mm. Speaking of, Merc appears unchanged.
Aww.
Oh, no.
Without possibly noticing Merc, Cell will have realised that Sasra is kind of coming to and is aware that Sasra may not enjoy the cold, and so immediately pulls them up and wraps them in presumably the furs that... Did Cell ever get made the... fluffy furs by Hammond?
Checked my notes. All of you had cold weather gear, so it's fine for you to just go cold weather stuff.
So just wrapping Sasra up in the fluff.
As you do so, Sasra seems to start kind of struggling away from the furs a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, then Cell's not going to force it. It's just a very immediate concern with temperature and potential uncomfortableness.
Sasra doesn't appear conscious. Interestingly, Sasra only starts to look uncomfortable once you start trying to warm her.
Cell is confused.
So I was just wondering, I guess Zolf is going to look around at sort of everybody else, and then are the attendants still there? We were kind of escorted in.
The attendants are still there.
Sure.
They're all stood very still and with heads respectfully bowed.
I will, address one of them and say, hey, what do we do now? Do we move them, touch them? Like, what's the procedure? I think, like, I don't know.
The attendant that you speak to looks up, leans forward, and very quietly, they will improve regardless. Whatever you fefeel is appropriate is appropriate. We have no... rules here for that.
Right, so we just
we'll help.
Do we wake them up? Is that appropriate? Cell is taking off their furs and putting them on Sasra so that Sasra doesn't need to be held to be warm, you know?
It will do no harm, though often people are more calm when they wake on their own.
Okay.
Alright, we'll just wait here.
I'm gonna say that Azu hasn't heard any of this.
Sure.
And Azu is going to immediately lean down and, like, start smacking Carter gently in the face. Be like, wake up now. Hello. Hi. Mm. Hello.
Hi, Azu.
Mm. Oh, you're back. Azu's going to start crying directly onto Carter's face.
Does that mean the tears are going to start, like, freezing midair and just plonking on him?
Ow. No.
Sorry.
Not quite. Back from...
Hello.
Back from where?
Oh, dear.
Carter just starts looking around.
Okay, Azu is going to, like, try and...
Did we teleport? Is this an Einstein thing? This feels like an Einstein thing.
Okay, Carter, actually, you should stay... you can sit... you died.
Subtle, I like it.
Okay.
I got you back.
So this isn't, you know...
Oh, no.
Oh, thank goodness. It's
sorry,
not very,
you're not still not dead. are you, do you remember anything?
Yeah, there was the crash, and then Carter sort of goes very, very still and just very, very quiet and appears to just mentally phase out.
As he's going to panic and smack him a little bit in the face again.
What? What?
Sorry, I thought you were going to die again.
What?
How is your bedside manner worse than Zolf's?
What? No, I... It's fine. I think I'm just going to need a bit of time to...
Yeah. I'm very...
This is odd.
Sorry.
It's nice to be warm again.
Do you want my coat? I can give you...
No,
you're taking your coat off already.
No, too much.
Sorry. She puts it back
too
on.
Much. God. Oh, okay. Azu, can I have a quick little... At which point Carter just turns around and sees everyone else. Okay, so this is like a whole thing, huh?
Yeah.
So is everyone undead?
No, you're not undead. You're properly alive, I think. Oh, can I detect undead? Do I have that? No, I only have detect evil. Damn it.
I've got turn undead. I could just try and turn him.
Don't!
Carter just legs it.
Yeah. Also, I think that might deal damage as well, so I might just kill him again. I'm not
going to. Yeah, the quickest way to check for undead, Helen, is just to heal him. See what happens.
Okay. I don't think that Azu's going to make that connection.
Fair. Carter's like asking again, are they okay? I don't actually...
Zolf.
Who's
Zolf.
That? Where yeah. am I?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Zolf.
How's Wild?
I think good. I think it went well. I mean, the attendant said maybe let them wake up on their own, but...
Oh.
Carter stands slightly shakily.
He's not died again, so, you know...
Oh, so is everyone okay then?
Look around.
Oi, Wild!
No,
Wild!
Carter, leave it. just please. I know you...
What is Skrark doing?
Nothing. Skrark doesn't appear to have awoken, never mind taking any actions.
Oh.
Carter, please, just calm down. I get... No, maybe not. Like, just don't... Please don't disturb Wild. Let him come out in his own time.
Okay.
So, I'm... Look, this is my calm face. Look at my calm face.
Yeah, no.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Where are we? Who's this geezer?
Lot of... we're on the back of a giant bear in a city, which is on the back of that bear, and a big eagle person sort of invited us up, and they told us we had a way to get you all back if you wanted, and then that's what we've just done, I guess, and it looked like it worked for you, so congratulations on not being dead anymore.
Carter sits back down, lies back down in the original position he was in, and just says, I'm okay, I'm obviously still not well, and that's okay.
No, I think you're okay. I can heal you. Azu casts Lay on Hands, I guess, and is going to attempt to heal Carter just in case. 16 for 16 points.
It says you're doing so, which, by the way, does not harm Carter in any way.
Yay!
You've all been far too wrapped up in things to notice. You've known Carter a long time.
Yeah.
Like, once we factor in the journey and blah, 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 you actually have. And part of that is, you know, you learn to stop noticing what makes up, like, the person's sort of physical identity, like a minor pockmark here, a birthmark there, a scar there, whatever.
Yeah.
As you're healing, you notice two things. One, Carter doesn't need healing. Carter's at full health. Also, you notice that you notice that all of the blemishes, minor, like, scars, nicks, anything like that, appear to be gone.
Ooh. Like the opposite of scurvy.
Anti-scurvy!
It's just high-dose vitamin C, this whole thing.
Oh, like your hair, by the way, Carter. I think it's a good choice.
Mm. What?
Oh.
Carter tries to look at his hair, but he keeps it short, so he can't.
Azu produces a mirror.
Whoa! Yeah. Just for the record, I'm pretty confident I ain't died before. I don't know. I might. I'm guessing.
Oh, did you not always have white hair?
No, it's. I'm thinking maybe it's kind of related to spiritual trauma.
Oh.
I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't feel traumatized.
No, I mean, nor do I, but like a connection being broken or something.
Hmm.
You know, I used to be cleric of Poseidon and then stopped, and then this kind of happened, so kind of you died and you've come back and that kind of happened, so...
What do we think? Distinguished or kind of...
No, it looks good.
Much.
It's striking. Might make it might make you stand out in a crowd, though, so maybe wear some hats if you're trying to be, you know...
Well, you know what? There are worse things than being noticed, right?
I definitely would agree.
I think you look great, as he says. And then she starts crying again.
Well, yeah, guess what Azu's trying to say is, glad you're back.
Carter sits and doesn't appear to have noticed that he cutches in towards Azu. Like, it's an automatic reaction that he doesn't seem to have noticed, but he just kind of sits and sits comfortably next to Azu, like, okay. Mm. At which point, one of the attendants steps forward towards Zolf again, since you were the one who started talking, going, we can move you towards maybe a different space if you'd prefer. If you'd rather stay here, there's no other use for this building.
I know, I don't know.
But
do I?
What
do I...
about Skrark and Sel? How's Sathra?
They're fine. They seem to want to lie there. Sel's like perched on their haunches and kind of arms on knees and just and has put the fluffy kind of winter clothes over Sathra. Mm.
Every time you try, Sathra unconsciously apparently seems to just be kicking them off and pushing them off.
Oh, okay. Well, then Sella's just sitting there, not processing, really. Just, you know, it's been an emotionally tiring day. And yes. So just making sure that Sathra's breathing is... that's ticked. That box is ticked.
So they said, the tenant said, like, they can kind of wake up on their own if like, I'm...
I heard that's why I'm just, you know, there doesn't... I'm not gonna do anything.
No, what
more.
I mean is,
just,
I think, yeah. Like we've done our jobs. We can,
yeah,
you know,
right.
We're
so,
good. Like,
yeah, guess. But I'm not gonna like leave.
No, I'm not. No, I,
you know,
not saying,
I'm just gonna
just mean,
sit.
Yeah. You know, I point at Wild and look, yeah, no, I'm sort of, yeah. I mean, how is Skrark okay? I don't. Looks like he's still under. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Sel only notices this now.
Give me perception checks.
Okay.
A roll.
Ooh.
19.
I got 25.
25.
Oh, wow, because Sel only got 22.
So it's just Azu this time. That's a rarity. I don't know why. You always seem to just roll poorly when it comes to perception. What first appears to be complete stillness from Skrark, on closer inspection, once you actually start paying attention... This is someone who seems to have every single muscle straining whilst at the same time being perfectly still. This is not someone sat comfortably still. This is someone going... sitting comfortably still.
Okay. Azu's going to go across to him then and be like, Skrark?
I'm going to give it you for free. Skrark clearly heard you, like a slight ear twitch and a slight shuffle.
I think it's over, Skrark.
It's not over.
Oh no.
Sorry, Alex. Important context. I think we're all assuming we can remember what we because like cast doesn't remember
his. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it like okay, straight okay. Out the gate. 100%. It feels like you went to a different room, did some stuff, and then came back.
Cool.
There might be some time dilation effects based on the spaces that you were in, but yeah, you have complete memories of the event.
Right.
Okay.
And is Mir clearly cold and still?
Yeah. Like, now that you're looking?
Oh.
Yeah. Merc okay. Isn't.
Skrark, I don't
concentrating.
Okay. Az is going to back off.
I am going to be saying now, if you want to leave Wild and Sathra to wake up normally, it's not going to be happening in, like, a couple of minutes. We're talking hours. So I need to just gauge what it is that people intend to do so that I can then gauge where to go with this one.
Sel will just be sitting there. If people leave, they will ask if they can have a hot drink.
I think Zolf will, like, sit vaguely uncomfortably for about 5 minutes and then go over to Skrark again, if Skrark is, like, still just, like, tensing.
That's
and...
exactly what Skrark is doing, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Skrark, I think it's, like, properly... over. I'm sorry, but I don't know what yours was like. I had a chat and it was a choice for them to come back, and I don't know what. Did you went under, right?
Do it again. We can do it again. Do it again.
Skrark, did you give them a choice?
Well, yeah, obviously.
And what did they choose?
Wrong. Just do it again.
Skrark, you got to. They made a choice. You got to let them go. We can't.
They made the wrong choice, so we could do it again. We're just going to sit here and we're going to do it again, and then they'll make the right choice and it'll be fine.
They made the choice that was right for them. You've got to. I know it's hard, but you.
It's selfish.
It's. I. Think about that. I don't want that to haunt you. Is it really selfish? Or are you just a bit angry?
Skrark suddenly leaps up, stomps over past one of the pots that was holding some of the pungent incenses and stuff like that, bashes past it, it doesn't shatter, but it does fall, and then just stomps out the front of the building. Just bang, just stomps off.
Oh, should one of us...
I don't know. I don't think I did that right.
Actually, maybe there isn't any way to do that right.
I am going to jump to Hamid, temporarily. Hamid, a short while after all of the elaborate fireworks and so on, the frost has been continually receding. It has been not accelerating or anything, but it's clear that the ambient temperature is significantly warmer than whatever was happening, and it seems to be returning to normal. Just as the frost seems to be nearing the actual building itself, the door suddenly slams open and out stomps Skrark. Stomps out, looks around, blinks briefly at the light, and then sees you, and then stomps around apparently to the back of the building, just stomps off.
Hamid sort of, the second he sees the doors open, leaps to his feet, and as he sees Skrark emerge, he'll take a couple of steps forward without really conscious thought. But then once he sort of sees Skrark's attitude, he'll probably just freeze in place and doesn't know what to do with himself at that point, basically.
This feels like a sensible place for a bit of a downer break, and then we can come back in and pick this up, I think.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome back. So
if Skrark is going to run off, then I will go back and revise. What Cell would have done with no other prompts is just sit there. But now, having seen that, they will get to their feet and take their winter furs and kind of put them back on and just say, could one of you ask the woken kobolds what the respectful thing is to do for Merrick?
Yes.
I didn't get to that bit of kobold customs.
Should I carry them out?
I don't want to put my coat over him because maybe that is something that's offensive to them. I don't know. But if you could ask, I will just... Cell's going to go follow Skrark.
Okay, so do I just take him out or...
Just ask the kobolds, right?
Okay.
Go out,
wait,
ask them what to do. I just need to check that Skrark is okay and then
okay.
I'll be back.
I will turn to an attendant and go, can they come in or is it okay now? Can other people come in if they...
It's fine. This is not a holy spot. That's not how this works. It's a useful place. It's not a hallowed place.
Right.
Okay.
Fine. Okay. I will go and talk to the couple.
Do you want me? Should we take the other two out?
Oh,
I can carry.
Folks, buddies, I do not think, and Sel just looks very tired. I don't think there's a rush. Okay. There isn't a rush anymore. It's okay. You got the adrenaline, right? That's what they call it. The you got that spike. You got a rush, but you don't need to anymore. The people who are back are back. We are safe.
The people who are not back are not,
and we're gonna process that, and it's gonna take time. Okay.
But
it's okay,
yeah,
right?
I just worry I might have mucked that up with Skrunk. So yeah.
You're okay, and that. People say things, right, at these times, and I'm sure that he'll regret, and you'll regret, and he'll also treasure, and you'll also treasure, and all this stuff. It comes out in the processing, but I'm just gonna see he's okay. You ask the others, we'll see if we can take these people to some beds, and then maybe we'll even have some sleep. Who even knows?
Yeah. Thanks, Hel.
Sad laugh goes out the door.
And maybe Carter wants a drink. I will shout at the sleeping form of Carter.
Carter laid back down. His eyes are open, but he's just kind of lying there like, boop, boop, boop. There's no way I'm on the back of a bear, so something's wrong. I should probably lie still. Upon hearing that, Carter goes, I'm actually okay, but, you know, thanks.
Okay.
That's probably the most profoundly troubling thing he could have said.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go talk to the kobolds then.
Okay. So, Carter.
Hey, Azu.
How are you feeling?
I'm waiting to feel bad. That's the best way I can describe it.
Oh, apparently you're fully healed and things.
Carter kind of leans up again, sits over. You have a momentary vision of Child Carter sat underneath the bench as he just sits there in the sand looking up at you. Certainly, just by virtue of all of the blemishes and minor dinks and scrapes being removed, he does give the impression of being younger.
Aww.
His skin has taken a younger hue almost. I mean, it's just a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry if I scared you.
No. No, I'm not scared. You wouldn't scare me, except for when you died. But...
Well, no, you're not the kind of person.
Except now, with the thing you were referring to correctly. Well, yeah, that.
Oh, no, that's because you're, like, dead brave and stuff, though, so that makes sense.
Oh! Azu starts crying again.
What? I didn't do anything!
No,
what?
It's okay.
Happy crying? Carter just kind of reaches out, but non-awkwardly just kind of pats you on the back, but says awkwardly, there.
Envelop him. Just give him a huge hug.
Azu shoves, like, her entire face in Carter's shoulder. And he's just like, oh, I was so glad to see you when you were 10 and you were small and I...
Okay, yeah, no, I thought you were the cool one. It's fine, yeah, it's okay, good. You're fine, everything's fine. It's all fine.
Oh, God.
I am going to use this opportunity to jump to the outside of things. Sel, did you already head out to chase down Skrark?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. I'm going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very obvious where Skrark went because there are still claw marks in the frost.
Yep.
Once Sel emerges, Hamid will run up to them and be like, Sel, what happened?
Right, okay. So just quickly...
You hear distant weeping, Bryn.
Right, so, oh. But don't, oh, that's happy crying. Some of it, it's going to be,
oh,
right, Cell again, like, I just can't underestimate how exhausted Cell looks.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so some people came back, and Mirik didn't, and obviously Skark is having an immediate reaction to that, which will need to be managed before the longer term of everyone and of we all processing and dealing. At the moment... I think we can say that the urgency of the last day or 2 days or three that has ended. So
yes,
we need to know. Maybe you already know. We need to know how to respectfully deal with the body. We need to know how to take the others to a comfortable place to sleep it off. You know. It. Slightly hysterical. Death. They just gotta sleep death off. It's always strange when this happens, right? Like, resurrection is so weird. And Sel just sort of trails off and goes to follow Skrok.
So I think during this conversation, Zolf will have walked past you two to the kobolds.
Mm. Once Sel heads off after Skrok, Hammond will sort of do a slight double take and then follow and then go over to the rest of the kobolds with Zolf.
Hammer's just spinning in circles.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow Cell.
Yep, sure.
You easily find Skrark around the back of the building, kicking it. Not hard, just kind of... Yep.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hey, I don't know if you want to be alone, but I just want you to know you don't need to be.
It's fine.
I don't think... I mean, you'll be thinking a lot of things, but I know if where you were chatting to Merrick was anything like where I was chatting to Sasra, like, it was nice, right? And it was a good place, and so it's not that they're in a bad place, but I also know that that doesn't mean you're not frustrated and you're not missing.
I'm not annoyed at Merc. I'm annoyed at me.
No, I kind of want to say I get it, but I also know that it's always unique, and I'm not going to say stupid things like it's not your fault, or it's not about that, or all the things that you could say, because I know it never feels like that. It's that you know you're not alone with it, and I'm sure the decisions are made, right? Like, I think with whatever you said, it's not about the specifics. I hope you don't become obsessed with the little things that might have been different, because actually these
no,
decisions
it's not that either.
Yeah,
I'm annoyed because I wanted Merc, but
yeah.
Even when Merc didn't want to come back, I still wanted Merc to come back.
No, but that's
and that's just me being stupid and selfish, and
I know, buddy. I know. I'm sorry.
Merc's fine. I've never seen Merc so happy.
Was it loud? How did you get? How did he hear you?
We didn't.
Oh, I'm glad it was loud.
Scrock gives a sad smile. It was, yeah, loud is the word.
Yeah, I...
And shiny, loud and shiny. And spiky. Loud, shiny, and spiky. With fire. Loud, shiny. Merc was happy.
Was he that guy from Mad Max? You know, playing the electric guitar on the, with the, you know, building size speakers and the
basically,
fire and the spikes.
Like, I'm going to be honest. That's basically the direction that I'm going with this. Yeah,
that's cool. I think so. We'll just like sit and be like, it's yeah. That's it's it. That's, you know, words. And this cell is saying in Draconic, so is stumbling over them slightly.
So, with everyone's permission, I'm going to jump time ahead a little bit. In terms of Zolf giving the news to the kobolds, they seem to take it very stoically. And I don't mean that in a sort of suppressing stuff. There doesn't really seem to be much in the way of tears. It's more like a, okay, that could have gone either way. Okay, next steps then. And there was definitely a private conversation between Scrock and the rest of the kobolds. But I would quite like to jump ahead to basically end this episode on an image, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is night falling with the... I keep calling it a city. Technically, it's not big enough. The town. Night falling on the town. And as the sun is setting, a pyre has been set up in the square. The kobolds basically requested, you know, it needs to be a pyre. It needs to be, you know, this big, blah, blah, blah. And effectively, they have told everyone... We just ask that everyone observe and be quiet. And then the kobolds, you know, Merc is laid out. The kobolds each take a corner of the pyre and invite Hamid to be involved if Hamid's willing. But there's no pressure there. And they begin to very gently light the pyre themselves using their own breaths.
Aww.
It's not much. It is a... The way that you would blow on a flame as if it's already lit, they make a flame appear just by blowing upon it.
Sure.
Everyone give me a perception check.
Okay.
19.
Natural 20.
17.
21.
Enough if you notice that basically as the pyre starts to catch and starts to accelerate its burn, the closer to Merc's form that the fire gets, the brighter and hotter it becomes.
Mm.
And the rest of the kobolds step back and then just stand watching. They don't appear to be to attention or anything, it's just observing. And the pyre where Merc is burns brighter and brighter and hotter and hotter. It isn't to the point where people can't, like, stand close because of the heat, but it is reaching the point where it's difficult to look at it. It is lighting up the rest of the square as if there is a bright light, like a almost like a daylight is coming towards in terms of the brightness. It gets brighter, and then very rapidly diminishes into a normal flame.
The kobolds are made of magnesium.
Basically, that's the kind of like look that I'm going for here. It leaves after images, but by that point, the flames are so large, there's nothing really to be seen. But you do notice, everyone who hit the 20s, that at no point did the kobolds blink. They just stared the whole time.
Hamid did the same.
Yeah, Azu will have tried to do the same as well, because she was in Merc's body.
I won't give rolls for stuff. I'll say it's difficult but doable and leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'll end the episode, yeah, on that image. And as a point of clarification, the remaining people, so we're talking Wild and Sasra, are basically, we'll say, laid out on a nearby bed, but not actually like taking part in the ceremony. They appear to be sleeping normally. But I would like to end the episode on this one as a sort of bit of a coda. But yeah, I would say that at no point have the kobolds cried or anything. It doesn't appear like they're restraining themselves. It feels more like a send-off than a big outpouring of grief. That's the best way to describe it. And that's that.
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
I hope that the bear didn't get burned.
I can confirm for you outside of our RP that the bear did not get burned.
Okay,
you see? That's why they did it in the square. Always thinking, Lid.
It's got a nice stone floor or like, yeah, you know, a nice thick saddle so it doesn't get hurt. Okay. Or she,
I got you covered.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Bear is okay. Confirm.
Good. It's very important.
Then I guess we will pick this up next week where we'll take our next steps, but I can confirm everyone will have time to sleep, which,
yeah,
you know, occasionally I grant you. But until that time, it's bye from me. So bye, everyone.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.